Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Business Beyond Borders, where we have made it our mission to talk to global experts and professionals, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and founders from a variety of industries and fields, as we tackle the many aspects of scaling an international business. The goal here is to collect valuable insights and share in-depth knowledge so that you too can apply the winning techniques and strategies to go global and take your business to the world.
Hi there, and welcome to the Business Beyond Borders podcast. I'm Cynthia Dearen, and on this show, I unlock the secrets of international business success. If COVID-19 has created challenges or opportunities for your company, check out the crisis support package, which I've put together for businesses looking to make the most out of this very challenging time. You'll find details in the show notes for this episode. Now, today, as part of our special series on COVID-19, I'm talking to Rick Roach, Managing Director of Ebury Australia, about foreign exchange and why it's so important, especially right now. Let's be honest, foreign exchange, or FX as it's often known, isn't something that most people spend much time thinking about. But here's the thing, it's absolutely crucial to be across it if you want your international business to thrive. Keep listening to find out why. Rick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we're going to be talking about foreign exchange and global strategies for foreign exchange today. But before we get there, I'd love to know how you think COVID-19 is affecting the foreign exchange business, and in particular, what you're seeing in the market at the moment.
Yeah, interesting question. Clearly, very topical. The first thing I would say is, we haven't seen the end of it yet, and we don't know for sure. What we have seen in terms of the markets is it's been a lot more volatile. That's really clear. We've seen from an FX perspective, Aussie being at its weakest point in multi-decades. It was moving, you know, some days 5%, and that can be a move that takes a year in long form. So increased volatility has been one outcome. You know, yesterday in commodity markets, of course, we saw oil go to negative. We've seen massive movements in equity markets. Debt markets have been moving in similar fashion. So across all financial instruments, there is a lot of change. There is a lot of volatility. And so focusing back on currency, yeah, volatility can be your worst enemy. It could be your best friend. But if you're not prepared, it can have a big impact. And that's what we're doing all day, every day. We're talking with clients and making sure that they're prepared. That's the main weapon that you can have to solve your challenges.
Mm-hmm. What are the kinds of myths that you see floating around in the commercial environment that prevent businesses from handling their FX exposure the right way?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of fallacies that we see people fall into quite often. I don't want to say it's frustrating, but it is frustrating, to be honest, because the same things repeat themselves. One of the common things that we often hear around when we'll sit down and understand, where does your FX risk come from and how you're handling it? And there'll be clients that say that they're not hedging because it's gambling. And we have to explain, it's up to us to explain, that it's actually the opposite, that hedging is protecting yourself. So it's getting that right in people's heads. And I guess the second, a fallacy alongside that is mean reversion. People assume that the market's going to go back to where it was. If you see a big move, well, it's just going to go back to where it was. And we heard a lot of that from importers. Let's say the market has been higher. 2 years ago, we were at 80. Now we were at 55 a few weeks ago. Now we're back to early 60s. So importers have been saying for a long time, I'll just wait this out, then I'll hedge when it gets better. It doesn't always get better. And there's countless examples of currencies that just weaken over long term. So that is common. From a more personal level, FX can be one of the biggest triggers of losing margin really quickly, right? It can be one of the most volatile parts of your balance sheet or how you structure your business. We have had situations where people say that I'm too busy. I'm too busy to look at it. I've got more important things. Again, I don't want to come across too strong, but there'll be businesses with high FX proportionate to their turnover who are focusing on things that don't add as much value to their bottom line when they should really be sitting down. If FX moves 20% and you're 100% turnover to FX, you're losing 20% margin. So people will say, I'm too busy, I'll look at it later. The market waits for no one. It's not an operational, piece. It's the best time to do it is yesterday, and the second best time is today, as they say. So making sure that you're on top of it and finding the time. Everyone's busy, but it's just getting priorities straight, I guess, would be an unkind of way of putting it. And I guess on that, the other thing that we would see, unfortunately, is fear of failure. And often the people that are within the business who are set up to, who have been given the role of managing FX, aren't equipped with all the tools and knowledge to do it. It's, again, quite niche. Not all businesses do FX, right? So it might be someone who's very competent, who's been working within a business that buys and sells domestically. Suddenly they've been given the FX portfolio. This is common. And so what can tend to happen is, if I do nothing, surely it will sort itself out, right? The problem with it is, again, it's not something operational. It won't go away. The market will move. The market waits for no one. And so the ostrich, the proverbial ostrich solution doesn't work, because, you know, we're talking here when within a month the market's moved down 20% and back up 10. If you're the wrong side of any of that, you can be in a situation where, you know, it's pretty challenging for your bottom line. So look, all of them I've seen in parts. All of them are understandable. So it's just about making sure that, you know, our job is to make sure people understand what risks they face, what decisions they should be looking at making, and then getting them to make that decision and making that process as quick and easy as possible. We're never going to sit there and dictate. We're not going to criticize, you know, businesses going through it, because it is complex, and no one learns FX at university. I always found that a bit of an issue, because, you know, some really, really intelligent people within finance roles don't necessarily have a grasp of it, and that's understandable.
Let's flip it around for a moment. What should companies be doing today to make sure that they are in the best possible position to deal with FX risk, especially at the moment when everything is upside down and all over the place?
Yeah, so there's no silver bullet in terms of what you should do in terms of an actual strategy. Every business is different, right? That what you should be doing is talking to someone that is experienced, who knows what they're doing, and is going to sit down and help you build a solution, a strategy, a currency strategy around your business, right? You have to have a battle plan. If you're going into any part of your business, you will have a well thought out plan on how you will execute it, taking into account X, Y, and Z. So that's what I would be saying to do. Ebreda will sit down with you for free and go through what you can pay advisors, extraordinary amounts of money to go through. That's just part of the service. That is what I'd say. The earlier that you talk to us, the earlier we can sit down and help you plan your business for whatever's coming around the corner. We don't know what's coming around the corner, but the better prepared you are, the quicker you are, the less of a sticky situation you're going to be in.
And even though each business is different, and obviously each business needs a plan that's customized to its specific circumstances, are there kind of key pillars in everybody's plan that they should have, you know, key things that they should be thinking about and preparing for?
I mean, the first, yes, yeah, if we want to go into that detail, I guess what I would say, what I often say, and my guys get sick of me saying it, is, I think it was Abraham Lincoln that said, if you give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, I spend 4 hours sharpening my axe. I've already talked about it, but it's all about putting the energy into the preparation. The rest will look after it itself. And you cannot be too late on this, because you can't say, it's not like other areas of the business where you can say, actually, okay, I'll do that in 2 days. I realize that I'm behind. Because if the market's moved, the market's moved. It's not, you know, an HR piece or an operational problem to solve, where you can say, you know, I will do that next month and I will get around to it. The market waits for no one.
So you might have already answered this question in that answer, but let's imagine for a moment that a company isn't trading internationally yet, but they're thinking, oh, this is something we're going to do in the next 12 months, COVID or no COVID, we're going to be doing business internationally. When's the right time for a company like that, a company with international aspirations, to start putting their FX plan in place?
Oh, I already said it right yesterday, following that today. The earlier we can help plan, we can get all the infrastructure set up so that you can go into those markets. Because the smoother that transition into the market is, you want to build your house right from the outset, right? If we're unwinding processes, infrastructure, or a strategy that hasn't hasn't been put in place correctly, that's double the work, right? So the earlier you can come and talk to us, and we'll do that. We've had clients who are, it took them 6 months to actually go into that market, but they're set up with, you know, we offer, for instance, on our platform, we can offer you bank accounts local to 25 countries and currencies that in your client's name, that in that country. No Australian bank can do that, for instance. Now, having that infrastructure up and running and ready so that once you start invoicing in that foreign currency, let's say, is helpful, because or else you're going to go about doing it the hard way. The earlier you can do that, the better. And each market will have its nuances that you just wouldn't know if you wouldn't know. It's not your fault. eBreezen, we're the most global in this business. We're in all those markets, and we can provide you with some of the intel that you wouldn't get from reading a book if it's new markets to you, right? And we've got examples, particularly around Asia or challenging markets that people don't know. What are the norms? What should I be thinking about? How do I finance that? What infrastructure do I need? What are the settlement methods? All of that stuff that we can download really quickly, because we're in those markets, so we know it really well. And we've had situations where, you know, we've gone above that even, where we're matching suppliers with our clients. They may come to us and say, we're actually looking to source, you know, widgets from X amount, from X, and then we'll go out and actually find a supplier that's also using us and match them. So it's kind of like we're Cupid in that sense, I guess. Or maybe that's overstating the analogy, but and anyone within our infrastructure who's paying or receiving, if they both hold an eBre account, that's instant and free for both of them. I guess it's continuation of that theme, but yeah, look, the answer is, and I sound like a school teacher, but you know, you get your preparation right and do it as soon as possible, we go and do the hard work.
So the message is, if you are thinking about trading internationally, either exporting your goods from your home country or exporting goods into your home country, make sure you get your FX strategy sorted out and start as early as you can. For people who don't know eBre, tell us a little bit about what eBre does and how you're working with firms day-to-day, especially at the moment.
Sure. So eBre is the biggest non-bank in the world that focuses on SMEs trading internationally. So that's a bit of a mouthful. But yeah, what we do is we focus on corporates. So SMEs, those being, you know, turnovers of a couple of million up to, you know, a billion to large listed entities. And we help them manage their FX exposure. Clearly, if you're trading internationally, you've got an FX exposure, whether that's exporting or importing. We'll help both sides of that. We also provide trade finance. So that's a complementary product, and it all sits within the, I'm trading internationally. How do I fund adequately that trading cycle? And how do I protect myself and my margins? Mm-hmm. So what we're doing day to day is being your eyes and ears as a business, providing you with information to make good, real-time, up-to-date, coherent decisions on how to handle that risk. We have had clients in some sectors who their turnover's fallen to, you know, near zero or zero, in fact, for travel, for instance. And we've actually seen a big dichotomy. We've had some clients having their best month. It seems very binary, to be honest. There's not that many clients who seem to be BAU. They're either saying to us that we've got an amazing amount of demand. If it's staples or fast-moving consumables that isn't going into retail, that's going through a wholesale or onto supermarket shelves, for instance. But yeah, then there's heavily affected ones who are over-hedged. So each conversation is different, but we've got the skills and products balance sheet to help businesses through whatever they're facing.
And there are a lot of people in the FX space, right? You know, there are a lot of providers. Mm-hmm. eBre is relatively young as a company, and it's pretty new in Australia. What makes you guys stand out from everybody else in the field?
Yeah, I mean, you're bang on. There is a lot of choice. However, it is a massive market anyway, is what I would say. It's the biggest market in the world, FX, and it's the most liquid. There's a lot of business. It's not a sort of a niche industry, right? In terms of who we are and how we stand out, one, I mean, we were bought. Santander is our biggest shareholder. Santander is one of the biggest banks in the world and bigger than all of the Australian banks. So that was a big tick in our box and helped us get to where we want, will help us get to where we want to get to, I guess, in the next 10 years, which is to be, you know, 10 times as big as we are and the incumbent household name for SMEs trading internationally. So what the impact that that's had is it's lowered our costs of delivery. and lowered your counterparty risk to us, because having Santander sitting behind us as the largest shareholder is clearly a wonderful thing. So that's one part. The other part's technology, our interface and platform, and the capabilities on it are best in market. And everything is clearly working towards digitalization, whether that's in, you know, your day-to-day life. And I think it's been massively fast-forwarded with what's going on at the minute. Everyone has to be buying what they're purchasing online. That's a trend that was happening, but it's been accelerated. So the digitalization, the interface is best in class. And I guess thirdly is the service and expertise that you'll get is far and above the incumbents in this market of the banks. They're dealing with thousands of clients doing what our clients will do. We provide a lot more of a enhanced, specialized, high level of service. Our dealers will have far less clients than that same role in a bank. So we actually sit down with our clients, truly understand what they want to do, do the thinking for them to get the best outcomes. Whereas the banks really sit there as execution. You call them, they make it hard for you to do, and they don't price it accordingly. But yeah, I'd say that they're the three biggest.
Let's just zero in on foreign exchange itself for a moment. Rick, it's been great to have you on the show. Before we wrap up, have you got any final thoughts for companies trading internationally at this crazy time?
Oh, I've got a lot of thoughts.
Where do I start?
Look, no, nothing that springs to mind that we haven't already covered to death, to be honest.
All right. Yeah. Rick, it's been great to have you on the show. Thanks for coming in and sharing a bit of FX wisdom with us. And for companies or founders or CFOs listening to this show who want to find out more about Ebury and how they can help you, you should visit Ebury, that's EBURY.com. I'm Cynthia Dearen, and I look forward to seeing you on this show again very soon.
Hi, everyone. This is Maher again. And just a few things before you head off. Firstly, if you feel you have gained valuable insights from the show, make sure to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss another episode. More importantly, don't forget to tell your fellow entrepreneur and business leader friends that this is the best podcast to tune into if they're looking to take on the world with their products and services. Also, if you are loving the podcast, please take the time to rate and review, as it's one of the best ways for us to get loads of free value into the hands of other entrepreneurs. And lastly, make sure to visit DearenAssociates.com. That's D-E-A-R-I-N, associates.com, where we have plenty of free resources and tools for you to get clarity and build momentum with your international venture. If you go there, you'll find the blueprint to international success, ebooks, our latest blog posts, and more. So be sure to check it out. And until next time, this is me encouraging you to expand your vision and wishing you all the best as you continue your global journey.